Please listen. It's wrong to think that verse by verse always equals exposition. And it's wrong to think that a single verse or a topical study can never be expositional.
Hey, welcome to the Expositors Collective Podcast, episode 58. I'm your host, Mike Neglia. We believe that the most important thing that we can do with the time that we are given by our hearers is to expose them to God's truth found in God's Word. And furthermore, at the Expositors Collective, we believe that the most effective and the most fruitful way to expose people to the truths of the Bible is through expositional preaching. In this talk that you're about to listen to, which was recorded in San Diego in April of 2019, David Guzik, who is considered by many, myself included, to be the master expositor himself, he talks about some common misconceptions about what expository preaching is and what it isn't. And he speaks about like why it's worth focusing upon it and why we want to do it well. And, you know, spoiler alert, it's because, you know, we believe this is the way to best expose our hearers to God's truth found in God's Word. So I know that you're going to enjoy this and be encouraged and spurred on by David Guzik's talk. And so this message was actually kind of the opening address to our San Diego gatherings. And so for the next couple of weeks or even months, we're going to be releasing the audio that took place in that San Diego gathering. If this is exciting to you, if you want to get involved in our next one, just to highlight, it's taking place in New Jersey in September 20th and 21st. Registration has just gone live, and so you're able to access that on our website, expositorscollective.com. Okay, anyway, enough of me. I'm going to put in some intro music right now, and then going to bring in and welcome up Pastor David Guzik.
Thanks, Pete. And you may or may not know, but Pete Nelson, he's really the guy who had the heart and the vision to start this. And I'm really happy that with Pete and Mike Neglia and other people who have been involved with this, I'm just happy to join them and be a part of something that I think is very valuable. Mike called this a 24-hour learning experience. And I think that's a great description of it, because now for the next 24 hours, yes, you'll see have some teaching times, but maybe even just as importantly or more importantly, there's going to be a lot of participation and work for you to do. So let's get started with this on a very first session where we're going to talk about the value of expository preaching. Now, I want to give sort of a caveat at the very beginning, just to simply say that for the purposes of this message, I'm going to talk about preaching and teaching as if they're the same thing. I understand you can make a distinction between the two, and there's a valid distinction to make between preaching and teaching. But for this message, just you could use them interchangeably. I think what I say applies equally well to expository teaching or expository preaching, whichever you would want to apply it to. So what is expository preaching? Well, to exposit simply means to explain. The word exposit comes from the same root of to expose. The idea is that you are exposing something that is there. This microphone, you can see it in my hand right now, it is exposed. If I were to hide it behind this little music stand, you can't see it there. It's not exposed. It's just to make visible. I don't create the microphone by exposing it and making it visible to you. You're just able to see it. In the same way, an expositional message is not fundamentally a message that's being created, but it's being exposed. It's being discovered. It's being explained. Let me put it to you this way. In expository preaching, the words and the thoughts of the preacher are directed towards helping people to understand the biblical text. We have our Bibles. We have the text of the Bible. In expository preaching, we're just helping people to understand what's written in the Bible. Now, non-expository preaching generally starts with an idea or a theme from the preacher. Then it may go to the Bible to find support and illustration. But the real starting point is not the Bible. The starting point is my theme, my idea. Now, non-expository preaching can also come from someone who starts with the text, but they don't have the discipline or the focus necessary to stick to the text. That's something we'll talk about a little bit later. You see, if preaching is expository, it may be topic-driven, it may be motivational, it may be filled with an emotional appeal, it may be evangelistic in its emphasis. Why can we say that? Because expository preaching can have all those kinds of emphasis, motivational, emotional appeal, evangelistic, whatever, because those appeals are within the biblical text. We can talk about some biblical passages that are very motivational in nature. So if I'm faithfully expositing that, my message is going to sound somewhat motivational. Or make an appeal to the will, or glorify God in his greatness and majesty all over the earth. You get the idea. It just begins and flows from the biblical text. I like what D.A. Carson said about this. He said this, quote, "The expository sermon must be controlled by a scripture text or texts. Expository preaching emerges directly and demonstrably from a passage or passages of scripture." That's where it comes from. Now, we believe, when I say we, I'm kind of using a royal we because I believe this and I think you believe it as well. We believe in something called the perspicuity of the scriptures. You say, well, I don't know what the word perspicuity means. I don't even know if I believe that. Well, perspicuity just simply means that it can be understood. We believe that with the illuminating help of the Holy Spirit, the believer can understand the Bible. With the illuminating help of the Holy... Now, we're not trying to say that everything in the Bible can be understood with complete clarity. There are some mysteries. There are some passages of scripture that people direct me to and ask a question about. I go, man, I don't know. It could be this or it could be that. I can't say. But in general, the message of the scriptures is clear. Now, we believe that, but we also believe that one way, even a great way, I don't know, maybe even you could be bold enough to say a primary way, that the Holy Spirit illuminates the scriptures is through the gifted offices in the church, those whom he has called to be preachers and teachers. So, can the believer understand the Bible all on their own? Yes. But does God also use gifted preachers and teachings in helping God's people to understand the Bible? Yes, they do. These truths are complementary. They're not contradictory. But that's why it's important that we have a focus upon expository preaching, explaining the biblical text. So, the main aspect of expository preaching is simple. Explain the biblical text. We explain its context. We explain its words. We explain its big themes. We explain its biggest theme. And the biggest theme of the scriptures is the person and work of Jesus Christ. We explain it in view of the original languages. We explain its promises and gifts, that's sometimes called its indicatives. We explain its commands and exhortations, sometimes that's called the imperatives. We explain it in view of its historical context, and we explain its practical application and relevance to life, All of these things are aspects of explaining the biblical text. I like what Al Mohler said about this. And this is a bit of an exaggeration, but I think it's a nice exaggeration. It says, your job as a preacher is a very simple one. This Sunday, you stand up, read the text, explain the text, and sit down. Next Sunday, you stand up, read the text, explain the text, and sit down. The next Sunday, you stand up, read the text, explain the text, and sit down. Now again, that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but you get the heart behind that. This is what we should fundamentally be as preachers. We should be expositors of the word. Now, have you ever seen one of those interviews where the interviewer is asking questions of somebody and they say something like this? Or let's say the guest says something like this. The guest says, I think I like dogs better than cats. And the interviewer says this, so what you're saying is you'd like to kill every cat. And you do a little discount. You go, you know, the interviewer's question or response indicated they weren't listening to what the guest said at all. They just kind of had their own thing that they wanted to get across. Listen, I think that that must be sometimes how God feels. I feel God must feel in a similar way when we pay so little attention to what he has actually already said, and instead we decide to sort of twist his words into a form that's going to advance our agenda. It's not our place to advance our agenda with God's word. It's to proclaim his message. Now, expository preaching is commonly done by preaching verse by verse through books of the Bible. This is very good. And this is a great blessing that's part of our Calvary Chapel heritage. But I want you to understand something. Preaching can be expository without actually preaching verse by verse through a book of the Bible. I'll give you one example of this. It's the preaching of Charles Spurgeon. Now, over the years, I've read a lot of Spurgeon. I mean, Spurgeon's collected sermons are some 3,000 sermons or something like that. And I've read a lot of them. Certainly not all of them, but I've read a lot of them. And in my mind, if I would do a rough calculation in my mind, I would say about one-third, and Spurgeon's normal manner was to take one verse, maybe sometimes two, and preach upon that one verse. Now, maybe in about a third of Spurgeon's sermons, and that's a very rough-handed calculation in my head. It may not be accurate. But I'd estimate that a third of Spurgeon's sermons, he essentially used the text as a launching pad. You know, he just took the text and he launched off and he preached a sermon on a theme that was suggested or somehow connected to the text. But there's other times, I would say in maybe about two-thirds of his sermons, again, a very imprecise estimation, his sermons are a brilliant take apart of the text. He just examines that Bible verse from every angle. He takes a look this way, that way, this aspect, that aspect. And what it is it's brilliant exposition. It's exposition maybe of one verse, but it's exposition nonetheless. You see, it's wrong to think, please listen, it's wrong to think that verse by verse always equals exposition. And it's wrong to think that a single verse or a topical study can never be expositional. Now, everybody in this room, directly or indirectly, I think owes a debt of gratitude to Pastor Chuck Smith, the late pastor of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. What a lot of people don't realize is that Pastor Chuck Smith did not teach verse by verse through books of the Bible on Sunday morning. Do you realize that? He did not. Through his some 50-year ministry at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, Chuck Smith did not teach verse by verse through books of the Bible on Sunday morning. He focused on one or two verses from that week's through the Bible study, which was Sunday night. It wasn't verse by verse exposition, but it was certainly expositional. So, a sermon can take a verse or two and truly be expositional. A sermon can be topical and present that topic in a truly expositional manner. But here's what else you need to remember. A sermon may go through a passage of Scripture and not truly exposit it. Read and ramble is not exposition. Reading a verse and just kind of freelancing my thoughts about the verse, brothers and sisters, that is not exposition. Even if you say good things. So if I read a verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. You guys ever heard that verse before? I tried to pick one familiar. And I say, you know, what this really speaks to me about is how we should love our parents. Now, is it true that we should love our parents? Absolutely, it's true. But what I've said is almost completely, I mean, you could might say there's the barest of this, but it's almost absolutely completely disconnected from the text. So even though I've said something good, it's not connected with the text. Read and ramble is not exposition. A verse-by-verse walk through books of the Bible is a great way to do exposition. And it is our way in the Calvary Chapel family. Now, I want you to know, it's my way in preaching. But it isn't necessarily the only way. I'd say this. Wherever the text is explained well, wherever it's explained accurately, wherever it's explained faithfully, expositional preaching is happening. So that's what expositional preaching is. Just with the few minutes I have left with you, let's talk about what the value of expositional preaching is. And I just want to talk to you about six aspects of the value of expositional preaching. Number one, expository preaching is valuable because it follows the pattern of much of the preaching that's seen in the Bible. Now, I'm not going to say that every sermon in the Bible is expositional in character. But much of the preaching in the Bible is expositional, more than people commonly realize. For example, have you ever thought about those several passages where it says that Jesus preached the word? Mark chapter 2, verse 2 says this, immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Jesus preached the word of God. And Jesus was also an expository preacher. We see that in passages like Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 22, where Jesus did an exposition of Isaiah chapter 61. So Jesus was an expository preacher. The scattered disciples in the book of Acts preached the word. Now, I like what Acts chapter 8, verse 4 says. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. And then I like what it says about Paul as well. Acts chapter 13, verse 5, 14, verse 25, 15, chapter 15, verses 35 and 36, chapter 16, verse 6, chapter 17, verse 13. I know I've read those off writer faster than you can write them, but you can listen to this later. All of those are passages where it says that Paul preached the word. And we know that from Paul's extended stay in Ephesus, which was a little bit unusual in his missionary career, that extended stay in Ephesus, he could say to them that he preached to them the whole counsel of God. What's more, Paul commanded others to preach the word. You remember what he said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. I think there's probably a lot tied together with that idea of in season and out of season. I think at least one of the things that it suggests to us is there's going to be times when preaching the word is easy, and there's going to be times when it's filled with challenges and obstacles. I tell you, I'd much rather preach the word in a fruitful season when everybody just seems to love to hear, and it's like honey dripping off of the tongue of the preacher. But that's not always what it's like. Sometimes expository preaching, sometimes faithful preaching of God's word is hard work. But we do it in season and out of season. I just agree, it's a lot more fun in season. Now, we also know from the Old Testament that God wanted the entire law to be presented to Israel regularly. We find that in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 9 through 13, which were instructions to the priests of Israel, to the Levites, that they were to preach the word, the law of God to the entire nation and to do it with regularity. Of course, Ezra in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 13, he's an outstanding example of expository preaching, where it says that he preached the word and they explained the sense of it to the people, which is exactly a description of expository preaching. And the simple line upon line way of teaching the Bible is an example to us. It's an example in Isaiah chapter 28. What's interesting about the Isaiah 28 passage is that's a passage where this simple line-by-line preaching of the word is mocked. But nevertheless, Isaiah said, I'm going to do it. Now, we also know that God manifests his word through preaching. He makes it real and tangible. Look at this verse, Titus chapter 1, verse 3. Let me read that to you. But has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me through the commandment of God our Savior. You know, I think if we meditate carefully on that verse, it'll open our eyes. The purpose of preaching is not to manifest my opinions. It's not to manifest my personality even. No, the most important thing to manifest, to make visible, is the word of God itself. And then most importantly, we would say, the gospel is preached through the word. If we properly and accurately exposit the scriptures, if we are good expository preachers, we are going to be regularly and powerfully preaching the gospel. Look at what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. So the first and fundamental thing I would say about the value of expository preaching is that it follows much of the preaching that we see in the Bible. Number two, expository preaching is valuable because it puts the attention of the listeners where it should be, on God and his word. Now, this is true for believers. Shouldn't that be the focus of believers? On God and his word? But shouldn't that also be the focus for those who are not yet believers? Their focus should be on God and his word. I know you all are amazingly good looking and have these amazing charismatic personalities. It's wonderful. We're all very enthralled by that. But as wonderful as that is, really, the very best among us are mere dark shadows compared to the greatness and the glory of God. He's the one that needs to be exalted. And properly expository preaching is a way to do that. Number three, expository preaching is valuable because it gives authority and confidence to the preacher. I want you to know that when I'm sharing my own opinions, which of course I do from time to time, it's not like I never do that when I preach, but I want you to know, I feel completely different when I share my own opinions or perspectives rather than when I know I'm explaining God's word. When I'm explaining God's word, I feel bold as a lion. My own opinions, well, you can take it or leave it. But this is the word of God that gives me confidence and boldness. Number four, expository preaching is valuable because it is obedient to the command to preach the word. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, and it is how we rightly divide the word of truth. That's what we need to do. Our explanations are to be a right dividing of the word of truth. And then number five, expository preaching is valuable because it is the proper response to the truth of the divine inspiration of the Bible. In other words, if we really believe that this book is God-breathed, that it is inspired by God, then the most important thing that we can present and explain to the people that we teach are the words God has given us in Revelation, rather than our own thoughts or opinions. Now, I said I had six for you. Those were five. Here's the sixth one, and it's going to have a couple of headings underneath it, but we'll go through it fairly quickly. Expository preaching is also valuable because it is helpful. Now, we don't measure everything by immediate results. It's not like, well, if fewer people come, then it must be bad. If more people come, it must be good. We don't measure things strictly by, you know, immediate results. But there are some wonderful, helpful things in expository preaching that should be an encouragement to us in our preaching work. Number one, expository preaching is helpful because it gives clear direction as to what should be taught. What do I teach? Well, what did I teach last week? I finished up Mark chapter 5. Now I'm going to teach Mark chapter 6. I don't have to agonize in prayer. No, hopefully I'm open to the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit would guide me to teach something different, hopefully I'd be led by the Holy Spirit to do it. And I would embrace that leading of the Holy Spirit wholeheartedly. But I don't have to begin with a blank slate every time I'm going to teach. We're walking through the scriptures. Secondly, expository preaching is helpful because it helps us deal with difficult subjects that we might rather avoid. When you're going verse by verse through books of the Bible, you will deal with subjects that you'd rather avoid. And then finally, expository preaching is helpful because it models good Bible reading. I believe that if we teach well, we will teach our people to read the scriptures well. They'll see it right there in front of them. Well, look, this is what it says. And maybe if we point out things in the text that are right there, but they didn't notice, they'll say, maybe I should read this more carefully. Maybe I should give more observational focus to my reading because it's right there. That's another very helpful thing. But brothers and sisters, let me just say, in conclusion here, it is a tremendous gift and privilege from God for us to be able to say that He has given us to be the voice of explaining His word. It's a wonderful thing. It's a powerful thing. And we should grab hold of it with both hands because expository preaching is valuable. Lord, bless us with an understanding of the great value of what we do and what we can do, and help us to grow in this together over the next 24 hours. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, amen, amen. May we grab a hold of this with both of our hands. And just a final comment on what he said. I think the fifth benefit to expository preaching and teaching is that it models for our congregations or to our hearers what healthy Bible reading looks like. You know, let me just give my two cents or my affirmation of that. You know, I've learned a lot and I've heard a lot of teaching and preaching from David Guzik. I was a student in the Bible college that he ran, and I've been one of the many people who visits his website, enduringword.com, to access not only his written commentaries, but also his audio sermons that are there. And I wholeheartedly endorse those and recommend those and commend those to you. But in hearing him teach, both in podcast form and in real life, there's a phrase that he says pretty regularly, and he'll be going through a verse, and then he'll stop and he'll say, "Hey, did you see that there? You know, look with me. Look with me down at verse 7. Can you believe what it says?" And then everyone's eyes just go down and they have their nose in the Bible and they're looking. And then he just points out something that is rather obvious, but something that perhaps many people haven't noticed before. And I love that. I love that the teacher or preacher that we're not the wizard or the conjurer that is like, you know, pulling a rabbit out of the hat, that we're not pulling out a meaning or a hidden gem that actually isn't in the verse in the first place. What he's doing is he just directs our eyes to the text and then makes an explanatory comment on something. And throughout the room, people are just like, "Oh," and there's that idea of, "Why didn't I see that?" And also, I'll make sure to be on the lookout for that the next time I'm reading my Bible. Anyway, I trust that you enjoyed this. Thanks for listening this far into the podcast. You know, I really do hope and trust, and I'm actually confident that this episode and all that we do at the Expositors Collective will help you in your personal study and your public proclamation of God's Word. God bless you.